You're listening to an anointed message by Matt Sorger, host of TV's Power for Life. We believe that God's Word has the power to change your life. As you listen today, it's our prayer that you pursue Jesus with all of your heart, grow in His anointing, and grab hold of the destiny God has for you. Let's join Matt now for today's message.
Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place tonight. Just pray with me tonight. Say, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place tonight. Father God, we desire, we don't want to just wash, we don't want to just watch the river go by us, but Father, we want to jump into what the Holy Spirit is doing and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit, we draw close to you tonight, Lord. We ask, Father, for your presence to engulf this place tonight. Holy Spirit, we're not here really to see a man, but we're here, Lord, to see you. And Father God, tonight we build a platform for the Holy Spirit. We build a platform for you, Jesus. And we ask you to take center stage tonight, Lord. Father God, we hide ourselves behind the cross of Calvary tonight. We hide ourselves behind the cross of Jesus. And Father, we invite the precious presence of the Holy Spirit into this place. God, we ask for the atmosphere of heaven to fill the atmosphere of earth tonight. And Father God, I pray that as you draw close to us, Holy Spirit, in this place, I would pray tonight, God, that you would speak to us and you would reveal your heart to us. You would show us your ways, that we would walk in your ways. We would know your ways. We'd walk in your heart. Father, give us wisdom and revelation tonight. Father, grant us your power tonight. Grant us your presence tonight. Yeah, just let the Holy Spirit wash over you right now. Just let the Spirit of the Lord wash over you tonight. Even as your hands are held out in front of you in the position of receiving tonight. Because before you can give away, you have to first receive. And tonight we're here to receive. We're here to receive a fresh anointing. We're here to receive a fresh word. We're here to see the Bahamas filled with the glory of God. We're here to see the islands filled with the glory of God. We're here to see the body of Christ filled with the glory of God. So tonight, Father, as we receive, it's so that we can give it away. So Holy Spirit, we ask you now, let your presence just flow across this room. Let your anointing flow across this room, filling every hungry heart. Father, we want the true bread of heaven tonight. We want the bread of life. We don't want a substitute. We don't want a form, but we want you, Holy Spirit. We want you. Lord, we want you tonight. Lord, we bow our hearts before you tonight. God, we pray that you would come and encounter us, fill us to overflowing. Lord, let your glory fill us tonight. Let the sweet fragrance of heaven be released in this place tonight. That we would carry your presence. We would carry your glory. We would walk with you, Lord. We would walk with you, Lord. Lift us higher tonight, Lord. Lift us to where you are, that we would see your face. Lord, I pray even now for a transference of your presence upon our lives tonight. Spirit surrounding you right now. Spirit is washing over you right now. Some of you in the last season of your life have faced some of the hardest battles you've ever faced. Some of you in the last season have faced some of the greatest warfare you've ever faced in your life. But I tell you what, the reason why you have been facing the greatest warfare you've ever faced is because you're about to win the greatest victory you've ever won. When David was out in the sheep field fighting off the lion and the bear, rescuing the sheep out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of those wild beasts, those moments of wrestling were only serving to prepare David for his ultimate moment of destiny, which was to take the head off of the giant. Some of you have been fighting a lion and a bear, but it's only serving to prepare your hands for war, so that when your moment of destiny arrives, your hands have been trained for battle. You see, you can't take down Goliath on the front lines of battle until you have fought the lion and the bear in the secret place. And some of you, God has just been preparing for your moment of destiny. Because I tell you what, your moment is coming, but you've got to be ready for your moment. Your moment of victory is coming, but God is making you ready for your victory. There's an awesome transition happening in the body of Christ. When God called Abram, he said, "Abram, I'm going to give you a great name." He said, "I'm going to multiply you. And through you all the nations will be blessed." But how many know tonight that Abram had to leave some things behind in order to step into the fullness of what God had for him? I want you to understand something tonight, that when God is calling you into a place of destiny and greatness, there will be times when God says you've got to leave this thing behind in order to cross over into the fullness of what I have for you. And sometimes we wrestle with God so hard and we try to hold on to all of those things. And meanwhile, God is saying if you just let them go, you'll be able to transition. Church, we are in a time of spiritual transition. We are in a time of crossing over into the fullness of the destiny that God has for our lives. The Lord gave me a vision recently. And in the vision, he showed me a small, very small, narrow passageway. And on the other side of this very small, narrow passageway was a very broad place. And God spoke to me. He said, "Matt, I've got a broad place for my people. But in order for them to move into the broad place of blessing that I have for them, they've got to first pass through a narrow place." You know that whenever a child is going to be born into the world, before that child can come into a broad place, it's got to first pass through a narrow place. How many know what I'm talking about? And sometimes during that moment of transition, there's got to be a big old push to go through. And you see, this is where the body of Christ finds herself right now. God is saying, "I have a destiny and a broad place of blessing for you. But in order to enter into that place, you've got to first go through a narrow place." And many times when you pass through a narrow place, everything that's not of God has to be stripped away from your life. Everything that can hinder you from crossing over into the destiny God has for you has to be stripped off of your life. Sometimes there has to be a decrease before there can be an increase. Sometimes there has to be a subtraction before there can be a multiplication. And God will even allow good things to be stripped away so that you can have His best. Because sometimes even a good thing can keep you back from God's best. And sometimes because we don't realize God has something better, we hold on to what's good. And we're so afraid to let go of what's good. And God's saying, if you just let go of it, I'll give you my best. So the church is in a time of great shaking right now. Thank God. Thank God for the shaking that's taking place in the body of Christ worldwide right now. There's a prophetic word I have for you tonight. Are you ready for the word of the Lord tonight? Are you really ready to hear what God is saying to the church in this hour tonight? Because God is saying, I have the best for you, but in order for you to have the best for your life, you've got to let go of even what's good. Sometimes even good things need to be let go of. Sometimes relationships that have been holding you back need to be let go of. Sometimes old habits and old mindsets that you've been holding on to need to be let go of in order for you to cross over into your promised land. Somebody say amen or ouch tonight. Turn in your Bibles with me to Joshua chapter 1.
Sorry. About 10:30.
Yes, sir. Joshua chapter 1. This is what I want to share with you tonight. I'm not going to preach for a super long time tonight, but I do want you to grab hold of the Word of God tonight. The Lord is releasing a spirit of dominion over the body of Christ that will cause the body to take full possession of her inheritance. There is a spiritual inheritance that God has for each one of you here tonight. How many know that? Amen. There is a spiritual inheritance. How many here have ever received a prophetic word from God? How many of you have ever had God speak to you something in your heart, out of the Bible, out of the Word? Something has come alive to you. Something, a word from the heart of God has come to you. How many have seen all of those words come to pass yet? Because I tell you, every unfulfilled dream, every unfulfilled prophetic word is a part of your spiritual inheritance in God. There is an inheritance that God has for us. And as God is causing the body to lay hold of that inheritance, He is releasing an anointing and a spirit of dominion upon the body where we will not just see our inheritance, but we will be empowered to go over and take hold of our inheritance. Now you see, this is why the prophetic and the apostolic are so important. The prophetic sees what's coming. The prophetic sees what God is saying. The prophetic hears what the Spirit is saying. But then there's an apostolic anointing. And the apostolic, apostle means sent one. To be apostolic means to be one who is sent. One who is sent, one who is commissioned by God on a special assignment or with a special message from the one who is sending them. And the one who is sent carries the name and the authority of the one who is doing the sending. And there is an apostolic anointing God is releasing over the body of Christ worldwide. It is a part of the wave of the Holy Spirit that is being released over the body of Christ. As God brings the body to a place of maturity, He's releasing with it an apostolic commissioning that will cause us not only to see what the Spirit is saying, but to cross over the Jordan and lay hold of the land that God says is ours. This is the prophetic hour we are in right now. We are standing at the precipice of the Jordan, looking over with the prophetic word of God, seeing the inheritance that God has said is ours, seeing our households saved by the power of God, seeing sick people healed by God, seeing those that are tormented set free, seeing the church filled with the manifest glory of God. We're seeing the inheritance, but now God is releasing an anointing upon us, such a tenacious anointing where we will not just sit back and see it, but we're crossing over to get it. I'm telling you something tonight. You have an inheritance in God, and the Lord is anointing you to go over and take the full possession of what He has for you. And in Joshua chapter 1, I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I just want to kind of paraphrase it. God basically speaks to Joshua. And He says, Joshua, He says, I'm going to be with you. And He says, every place where your feet go, I'm going to give that land to you. In other words, Joshua, I am going to give you my dominion. that wherever you go, you will walk with my authority, and every piece of land that you walk upon, I am giving it into your hand. And he said, the enemy will never be able to stand against you, Joshua, because I am with you. Church, we are coming into a season of divine takeover, where the body is not hiding itself in the four walls of her cathedrals. It's a season of divine takeover, where God is giving us supernatural strategies to invade every strata of our environment and our society. Places of government, places of education, places throughout the world, in every media, in every industry, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready, church, to take over your world for God? Instead of sitting back and letting the enemy take the land? I tell you what, church, it's time we start taking the land for God. And there is a spirit of dominion that God is placing upon us. And with it, authority. And with it, authority to take our inheritance. And I believe right now in this hour, God's raising up what I call glory forerunners. Glory forerunners. You know what glory forerunners are? Forerunners are those who go ahead of the crowd. Glory forerunners are those that are sent ahead of the crowd who carry the glory of God on their lives. Because as God was causing the children of Israel here to cross over into the land that God was promising them, this is the strategy he gave them. In Joshua, let's look over in Joshua chapter 3. Turn over to Joshua chapter 3 in verse 6. It says, Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Verse 10, Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, all the Ites, the Jebusites. How many understand that when you're about to cross over into your land of inheritance, the devil's not going to sit there and say, oh, come on in and take over. How many understand sometimes there's going to be a battle for that land of inheritance? It doesn't mean God didn't say it wasn't yours. God said it was yours. But it doesn't mean there's not going to be a battle to get it. And this is where people make a mistake. They think if there's some warfare, they must be out of the will of God. If everything's not going easy, if everything's not going perfect, well, then I must be out of the will of God. Not true. Sometimes your greatest warfare happens when you are right in the middle of God's will. And the enemy doesn't want to just roll out the red carpet for you and say, come on in and take over my territory. But here God said, the land is yours, Joshua. And I'm going to drive out the enemy from that land. And he said in verse 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters shall come down from upstream. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Until verse 17, until all the people have crossed over completely over the Jordan. I'm going to have the priests come with the ark on their shoulders. And the moment their feet touch the waters, it's going to part. And all the people are going to cross over on dry land. Glory forerunners. The priests were symbolic of those who carry the presence of God. Do you understand that in your breakthrough, God releases breakthrough for someone else? Do you understand there is a breakthrough in the breakthrough? That when you get a breakthrough, you're not just breaking through for yourself, but you're breaking through for multitudes that will come behind you. When you break through in your family, you're not just breaking through for you. You're breaking through for all of your children and your descendants that'll come behind you. You see, as those priests stood in the water and the anointing, the Spirit of God parted those waters so that they could cross over. Those that went ahead were those that carried the glory of God. And right now, God is looking, Holy Spirit is looking for people who will carry His glory. Who can step into the waters of transition and see the body of Christ come through a place of breakthrough so that they can transition through a narrow place to come into the broad place that God has for them. Always remember, whenever you find yourself in a narrow place, it means there's a broad place right ahead of you. Every time you find yourself in a pressing place, in a stripping place, in a place where things feel like they're just being stripped from your life. It's because God is transitioning you into the fullness of His purpose for your life. Amen. Glory forerunners, those who will go before carrying the presence of God. Displacing the enemy. Releasing a breaker anointing. To see the enemy displaced from what belongs to you. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? It's time to push, church, like we've never pushed before. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 32. I'm going to share a key with you tonight that the Holy Spirit recently spoke to me in Genesis 32. Because I've known for a while that the body corporately is in a place of transition. I know that God is bringing us into our inheritance. I know that this year, Holy Spirit has already spoken to me that many new ministries are about to be birthed this year. There is a greater glory coming upon the body of Christ. There's a great shaking happening in the body. God is dealing with everything He needs to deal with so that the foundations are strong and solid. So that when the glory, when the greater glory is released over the church, we've got something solid for it to come upon. Holy Spirit is building a very firm foundation in the body of Christ right now. And as Holy Spirit does that, He shakes a lot of things so that the foundation can be strengthened. And I know that we're crossing over into a place of inheritance. But the Holy Spirit recently spoke to my heart. He said, Matt, there's something the body of Christ needs to know if they're going to transition successfully. Because some people get stuck on the wrong side. Some people get stuck in their place of transition. You know what I'm saying? Some people get stuck in the wilderness. Some people wander around the same piece of dirt year after year, wondering why they're still in the same place. Knowing that God is calling them to go somewhere, but it's like they're wandering in circles. And the Holy Spirit spoke something to me. If we're to transition successfully as a corporate body, out of the place we are right now, into the place that God is calling us to be, which is a place full of His glory in our lives. Genesis 32, there was a man named Jacob. And he was left alone one night. In Genesis 32, verse 12, God spoke to Jacob. He heard the word of the Lord. And it said, "For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." Jacob knew it was God's will that he be blessed. How many here tonight know that it's God's will that you be blessed? How many know God wants you to be blessed? It is God's good pleasure to bless His children. And here, Jacob knew it was God's will for him to be blessed. Verse 24, knowing that his inheritance would be descendants, as many descendants as the sand of the sea, knowing that this was the inheritance God had for him, Jacob was left alone one night. Verse 24, it says, and a man wrestled with him. The prophet Hosea prophesies about Jacob's experience. If you look in the book of Hosea, Hosea refers back to this experience that Jacob has wrestling with a man. And Hosea calls this man an angel of the Lord. Whether it was a pre-incarnate form of God or whether it was an angel of the Lord, either way it represented God. And here Jacob was left alone. How many of here have ever felt like you've been left alone somewhere? I tell you what, some of the greatest encounters you ever have with God are not when you're with a multitude, not when you're with the crowd. It's when you're left alone. And there'll be times when you are left alone with God. Someone won't be there to pray for you. Someone won't be there to lay their hands on you. I thank God for the meetings where an evangelist can come and pray for us and we can get an impartation from the anointing. But I tell you what, when you wake up on Monday morning, that evangelist probably will not be there. Or the pastor probably won't be there waking up with you. And there will be times when you won't be able to have the luxury of having somebody else help break you through, help pray you through, help press you through. There'll be times it's just going to be you and God. And that is where the greatest breakthroughs happen. And here Jacob was in a place of being left alone with God. And it says he wrestled with him until the breaking of day. He wrestled all night long until the breaking of day. Church, hear me. There is a new breaking. There is a breaker, breakthrough, anointing that God is releasing that in the process is releasing a new day upon the body of Christ. He wrestled through to a point of breakthrough until the dawning of the new day. And right now we are in a place of contending, church. We are contending for the new day to be released over the body of Christ. We are contending for the Son of Glory to arise in fullness over the body until the breaking of day. And he said to him in verse 26, the man said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed." There was something in the heart of Jacob that caused him to break through to the new day. And it was called perseverance. It was called tenacity. It was called, "I'm not going to give up until I see the fullness of God released in my life." It's called, "I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop pressing through until I see the full inheritance of what God has promised manifested in the earth. Until I see the glory of God released as God said it would be released." And it says in verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Peniel, literally, the face of God. Verse 31, just as he crossed over Penuel, which means the face of God, the sun rose on him and he limped on his hip. He crossed over a place called the face of God. He crossed over a place of wrestling with God. He crossed over a place of saying, "Lord, I am not going to give up or let you go until I see the fullness of what you said to me would happen." And in the process, he entered a place called the face of God. And he lived to tell about it. He said, "I've seen the face of God and I've lived." You see, because what God was looking for in the heart of Jacob was a man who would refuse to give up. A man who would be tenacious enough to press through until he got his breakthrough. And that's what God is looking for in your heart and in my heart. He's looking for a character quality. He's looking for a holy tenacity right now. And some holy forerunners in the body of Christ. The forerunners who'll say, "I'll put my feet in those waters. I'll get my feet wet so that the rest of the body can cross over. I'll be willing to step into this place of opposition so that the rest can come in behind me." That's what God's looking for. Someone who will be so saturated with the glory and presence of God. Someone, even if they have to get on their face all night long. Someone who will be so desperate. Someone who will be so hungry for God. Someone who will be so convinced that what God said would be, would be. Turn in your Bibles quickly to Daniel chapter 2. I want to share one more principle with you right now, because as we transition, church, and when I say transition, do you understand what I mean when I talk about the church is transitioning? Turn over to Daniel chapter 2. When I say the church is transitioning, I mean there have been prophetic words God has been speaking over years. Prophetic words over your life, prophetic words over the body of Christ. Prophetic words for your destiny. Do you understand that your destiny does not just affect you? Do you understand your destiny is not just about your destiny? Do you understand that your destiny, when God gives you a calling, when God gives you an anointing, when God gives you a gift, it's not for you. It's for everybody else. that your life will touch and impact. When God places His hand on you, it's not so you can just say, oh, I feel the anointing of God on me. Hallelujah, I'm blessed. It's, God, you have anointed me so that I could preach the gospel, so that I could heal the sick, so that I could see captives set free from their prison. Your destiny is not just about your destiny. And listen, destiny is not just about standing behind a pulpit with a microphone in your hand. We always think the ultimate destiny, let me just stand on a platform with a microphone. Your destiny may be in your workplace, but God's ultimate destiny may be that you shake that whole workplace with the presence and glory of God. God may have a city for you. God may have a family for you. God may have a country for you. There's something with your name on it. A destiny. But your destiny just doesn't affect you. It affects everyone else that will be touched because of your destiny. And there's something that I've learned. How many have ever heard a preaching about revival? How many have ever heard people preach about revival? Revival is coming. I see it, revival is coming. And there's an aspect of the prophetic where we see something coming that's not quite here yet. But we're coming into a place right now where it's not just about what's coming. It's about what's here. It's not just about what's coming 10 years from now or 20 years from now. It's about what God is doing right now. There's something that the Holy Spirit showed me. Actually, hold your finger there in Daniel. Turn with me over to the book of John. Hold your place in Daniel. We're going to move over to John here. I'm going to be concluding in just a few minutes. John chapter 2, verse 1. I love this. Something the Holy Spirit showed me recently. How many know there was a wedding that Jesus went to? There was a wedding that He went to with His disciples and with his mom. And there He was at the wedding. And something happens at this wedding. They run out of wine. How many know it's not a good thing when you run out of wine at a wedding? They were not too happy. Because it's a celebration. And there was no wine to drink. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, turns to Him and says, Jesus, they have no wine. And Jesus turns to her and says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And His mother just completely ignores Him and says, do whatever He tells you to do. Then how many thank God for mothers? Or wives. Hallelujah. We know where the real authority is. The men are the head. They have the authority. But the women are the neck. And they turn that head wherever they want it to go. I'll tell you what. I know where the influence comes from. Jesus, just, they have no more wine. Do whatever my son tells you to do. And Jesus said, it's not my hour yet. My hour has not yet come. But did that make a difference? Oh no. And Jesus is pulled into a place of manifesting His glory. And He says, take those water pots, fill them up with water. And in the process, a supernatural sign happens as the water is turned into wine. Yes. And the head of the wedding says, he drinks the wine. He says, what have you done? Most people serve the best wine first. But you've served the best wine until now. Yes. Church, God has saved the best wine until now. Yes. Until now. And this is what God showed me. You can see something in the future and pull it into your presence. Yes. Mary saw something in her son. And she didn't want to wait until his appointed time. She saw something that was coming. She saw something on the inside of him. And because she could see it, she could access it. Even before the appointed time. There is something when you can get supernatural vision. When you see something that is coming. That you don't have to wait for it to come in its appointed time. But you can lay hold of it and pull it into your now.
You can lay hold of it and pull it into your moment. Some people, they wait and they wait and they wait and they wait. And years go by and they're still waiting. God is looking for someone who can have his vision. God is looking for someone who can see what he sees. Someone who won't be limited by the natural circumstances around them. Someone who won't be limited by what they can see in the natural, but they have spiritual eyes to see something beyond.
Amen.
The moment.
Yes, sir.
And she reached right into that glory that was in Jesus, and she pulled it into the present moment.
Yes, 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 yes.
Before the appointed time. And I tell you what, I'm not preaching that there's a glory coming, there's a revival coming, there's a move of God coming. I'm telling you what, if you can see it, you can pull it into your now. I'm not going to say God's going to save your whole family. If you can see it, you can pull it into your now. I'm not going to say God's going to heal you someday. God said appointed time for you is someday down the road. I'll tell you what, if you can see it, you can pull it into your now. The woman with the issue of blood, she saw it. She pulled it into her now. She didn't ask Jesus, Jesus, would you pray for me? She didn't ask God to heal her. She says, I can see it and I'm going to get it. You see, and God is looking for someone who will wrestle all night long if they have to pull the blessing into their now. And Daniel saw this. He saw it. Daniel saw it. He saw it. God gave him the interpretation of the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. The king had this dream and he saw this statue, this man made of gold and bronze and his feet made of clay and bronze. And he saw this statue and he couldn't understand it. It was a mystery to him. And God gives Daniel the revelation. And he says, the head of gold, O king, is your kingdom. He says, and these are other kingdoms that are going to follow your kingdom. He said, but the feet of bronze and the feet of clay, it's a divided kingdom. And how many know that a divided kingdom cannot stand? You see, there's something of a kingdom dominion that God is giving us, church. Every other kingdom that is established in this earthly realm, it will all one day crumble and be blown away. But there's coming a stone, a rock made without hands, Daniel said. He said, I see a stone made without hands. And it comes and it shatters the statue. And it shatters the feet of bronze and the feet of clay. And it shatters all of these earthly temporal kingdoms until finally the kingdom that's made without hands comes into the earth. And it says that stone grew until it filled the whole earth. He saw a coming kingdom. He saw it coming in the future. It was a prophetic vision. He saw the kingdom of God coming one day in the future. But something supernatural happens when Daniel saw it. He saw it coming in the distance. But that same kingdom, because he could see it, came into his now. Because suddenly King Nebuchadnezzar turns to him and he says, Daniel, I'm making you the administrator over this entire thing. And an authority and a favor came upon Daniel's life. And he was promoted into a place of kingdom authority. Because he could see it coming, he was able to pull it into his moment. And he was lifted into a place of rulership with supernatural favor on his life. Everybody say favor. Turn quickly, quickly, quickly to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, and this is it. Daniel chapter 4, verse 13. He saw in the vision Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he's able to give the interpretation, and he's brought into a place of authority and power. Turn back to Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2. And this is what happened in verse 47. The king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. And the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. He sat in the gate of the king. He sat in the place of authority. He saw the kingdom coming at a future date. But once he got the revelation, he began to operate in kingdom dominion in his moment. If you see it, you can have it. If you see it, you can access it. If you see it, you can have it.
We trust you've enjoyed this uplifting and powerful message by Matt Sorger. Matt Sorger Ministries has a wide range of CD and DVD resource material available on our website. When you visit us online, you'll find anointed teaching, timely messages, and prophetic insights from Matt Sorger. All at mattsorger.com.